Thank God. Let's turn over to Psalm 107, 22. I'm going to continue in the vein of just talking about thanksgiving and specifically the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of giving thanks to God. Psalm 107, 22. It says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. And in, you know, what he's talking about before that, it just talks about different people that cried out to God in their times of trouble. You know, if you just read the first verse in Psalm 107, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's us. Let us say that his mercy endures forever. And so then you go, you know, the different parts. There's different parts of it here. You know, out of, let's go ahead and read in verse 10. We'll just read a few of these verses. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of the Lord and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze. He cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. In verse 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. And so he just talks about a few instances where God delivered these people out of harm, delivered them out of harm's way, or delivered them out of their own predicaments. But he says in verse 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. And in the Living Bible it says, let them tell him thank you as their sacrifice and sing about his glorious deeds. Let them tell him thank you as their sacrifice. And sometimes it's a sacrifice to do that. It's just to say, God, I'm going to choose to worship you and to be thankful because I have something to be thankful for. And your flesh doesn't want to do it. Our flesh, if we just left it, would just, you know, if you didn't have any control over it, it would just destroy itself. You know, if you just let your flesh go, your flesh would want to be lazy. I mean, basically your flesh does what it's told. But, you know, given itself, your flesh doesn't like it when it's cold, doesn't like it when it's too hot, doesn't like it, you know, if it's, the food isn't quite right. But we all know we got to tell it what to do. But, and sometimes your flesh is in the middle of stuff that is making it cry out. Maybe your mind cry out. Make it, you know, stuff isn't going so well because we're living in life and there's stuff that isn't completely comfortable. And even if it's not a major thing, it's just something that your flesh or your mind or something or even the world system, it just tries to push you to where you want to grumble and complain about it or just not glorify God and thank God. And it's a sacrifice to say, I will be thankful to God. I have a lot to be thankful for. God, thank you for this time and that time. It's sometimes good to write things down that happened to us in life. You know, a journal or whatever. You know, I have things written down and just looking through a notebook a couple weeks ago, things, you know, when I met Shelley and that whole scenario and, you know, just reading the detail of how God did certain things and just to go back and remember, we all have things. And even it's just good when there's certain things in our life that maybe it's harder than we'd like it to be or it's just a pain. You know, sometimes there's just things that are nothing really bad going, but you just... there's nothing horrible going on. Nobody's going to die or anything. But there's just things that you'd rather not go through. And just in those situations, to look back on what God has done. To look at how faithful he is. To remind ourselves of what he's done in Christ. The fact that he is God Almighty, yet he looks upon us as children. and just the things that we can take for granted. So easy to take for granted, like Shelley was saying at the beginning, that you can breathe. None of us in here right now has a machine hooked up to them. You can breathe without that. That you can see me with your own eyes. That you can hear me right now. That you walked in here. And I mean, we think, oh, that's just cliche. No, it's whenever there's stuff that our flesh is trying to tell us, you don't have anything to be thankful for. Why, you know, just wants to just go in the wrong direction. That we have so much that we can offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving to God, even just sacrifice. I don't feel like it. I'd rather grumble and complain, but I'm going to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving to God because He's worthy. You think about it in heaven, continually. Over in Revelation, you ever read over there? How they are continually falling down before God and just saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You know, the elders, the elders and the beasts and everything, they're constantly going through this thing where they're just worshiping Him. I don't know all what heaven's going to be like, but I know we are going to be in awe of how mighty God is. And sometimes I think we'll look back and say, my goodness, I knew that God and He lived inside of me, and I did what with some of my time on earth? I let these things get me off or choose to not glorify Him. Man, if we really knew, I believe, who we serve. I mean, we have the Word. That's what we have. And maybe some of you had a specific experience with God. But I don't believe, you know, once you get to heaven, people have had experiences there. But once you're there for real, people don't come back. I mean, they maybe have a glimpse or whatever, and they see certain things. But it's like, if we really knew who we serve and the power we have and what He's really done and what He saved us from, that alone. You know, Brother Hagin had an experience where he went to hell. Went down to the gates of hell, and he just changed him forever. And he tells that, you know, he used to do that as an evangelistic message, describe what it was like and the cries he heard, and that it's a real place. And he said he went down. We don't know wherever it is, but there's, you know, he went down into there, just went down, and then the experience he had and seeing that it's a real place. And sometimes we take that for granted, what we've been saved and what we've been saved from, and that we, you know, each one of us without Jesus, we deserve to be there. We deserve. None of us is good enough. We deserve to be there. The hell was made for the devil and his angels. It was not made for men. It's not some game. You know, what is this heaven and hell people say? No, it was made as a punishment for the devil and his angels. The thing is, God, through Jesus, has made it a way for everybody to go and be with Him. He doesn't want a single person to spend eternity there. But if they choose to listen to the devil, if they choose to disregard the Son of God and the blood that He has shed, they will spend eternity in the same place and with the same punishment as Satan. And it's a real place, and all of us deserve to be there. And the fact that you and I can come into the presence of the spotless, most holy, living God and not die is something to be thankful for. But those things, that so much more than anything that we may, you know, temporally come in contact with. No pain in our body, no financial situation, no relationship situation, no job, you know, frustration, you know, no traffic thing, somebody cutting you off. None of that. When we get a glimpse of, oh my goodness, I've been saved and I am in the kingdom of Almighty God. Then we just look at those things. It sometimes may seem like a sacrifice, but really, we're just falling right along with what is true, what is real. What when we get to heaven and we see what all has been, we'll say, yeah, you were on the right track when you gave thanks. How much of a waste of time it is to ever go down that other path. And just we could go into all the natural things too. Of course, we know through no doing of our own, we are in a blessed country. None of us chose our parents. We just were born here. And because of a lot of people that have come before us, we are reaping. You know, I read it over in Deuteronomy. I was like six at the beginning there, you know, God is telling the Israelites there, you know, when you're in houses that you didn't build, when you're reaping all these benefits, because they were going to take the promised land, when you're reaping all these benefits you had nothing to do with, he gave you that land. Remember the Lord your God, that you didn't do this. It's not you. And sometimes we just take for granted these things. Oh, we're just living this prosperous nation. Well, this nation is prosperous because it's founded on principles of following God. And it's a waste of time to go down that other way and just grumble and complain. Let's turn over to Philippians 2:14. The sacrifices of thanksgiving. You know, it may start off as a sacrifice, but any time we go down and we choose to really thank God from our heart, it doesn't take long before our mind and our flesh will follow along. If we'll choose to yield to our spirits, our spirit is always in communion with God. And if we'll just listen to our spirit's not grumbling and complaining. Our spirit is in communion with God. If we'll listen to our spirit, it will always lead us in the right way. If we'll listen to our spirit is never, you know, going to go off and grumble, complain, think the wrong thing. It's always glorifying God. It's always wanting to go in the right direction. And if we'll just fall in line with our spirit, make our mind go along with our spirit, our flesh will do what it's told. And it will fall in line. And it will start to like it. And when you start feeling good and start looking at that, then your flesh says, oh, this is great. And it's like, well, you know, why didn't I do this? I'm so glad we did this. No, your flesh is just like following whatever. So it likes the benefits once you get there, but it doesn't necessarily want to force itself to thank God when it's not convenient. We can all thank God when everything is going well, but when things aren't, sometimes it's a sacrifice. But it says in Philippians 2:14, it says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 16, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. But verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Do all things. That goes right along with, you know, sacrifices of thanksgiving. Do all things without complaining and disputing. It's so easy sometimes to go down that way, complaining, disputing with others. But when we'll, in those situations where we want to complain or we want to dispute with somebody, just shut up and follow along with what our heart is telling us to do, what the Spirit is telling us to do, and say, God, I choose to just sacrifice this. I choose to thank you. I choose not to dispute with this person. I choose to be thankful for this person. You know, ugly as I think they're acting right now or whatever, I choose to thank you anyway and just choose to focus on you. And we all know, we've all heard that. But sometimes in the middle of our life, it's just easier to give into that. But our spirit always wants to do the right thing. Let's turn over to Acts. Good example of this. I don't think any of us has been quite in the situation described here. I don't think any of us had a situation like this in the last several weeks. In Acts 16, verse 16. Where we, you know, sometimes we think we have a reason to complain or, ah, you know, man, if you knew what I was going through or, you know what, I've just had a year or whatever. I know I've never been in a situation like this. Acts 16:16. Now, you know, Paul wrote the verses we just read, do all things without complaining and disputing. He wrote those. Now, Paul went through some stuff, and this is one of the examples. It says in verse 16, now it happened as he went to prayer, or as we went to prayer, Acts is written by Luke, he's with them. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. Now that sounds good, but she was just like mocking him. Being annoying. Doing this over and over. Verse 18, and she did, and this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit in her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. So this girl, you know, was the spirit in her was fortune-telling, which is still around today. Psychics and stuff, there still are spirits that do this. People say, oh, it's all fake. No, it's not. It's real. Not all of them are real. Some of them are fake. But there are spirits, and spirits know stuff. You don't see them. And they can know things. They can see something in somebody's bedroom that only that person could go. And then they're in this person. They're yielding. These people are yielding to the wrong thing. And this person, psychic, whatever, fortune teller, they're listening to a demon. The demon knows what has happened. You know, somebody goes in to a fortune teller. We have them around here. There's ones not too far from here. Go in. They want to channel somebody or whatever. They find something else. There could be easily a demon that knows that person that's coming in for help or whatever, knows where that person's been, knows some things that only that person knows, but they've seen some things. And if this person that's the psychic or fortune teller is yielding to that demon, it seems like that person knows things that only the person coming in from help can know, but it's a demon. And that's real. And people laugh it off. It's real. We don't want to ever mess with that stuff. People are ignorant, thinking it's a game. It's not a game. It's a demonic spirit. And they do know some things. And it doesn't, just because it's supernatural and seems like there's no way it must be God, that's not true. We don't want to ever, that stuff, there are spirits just like there were back here in the Bible. Just like this slave girl was possessed with a spirit of divination and made money. Same thing today. People make money, and it seems supernatural. People say, how do you do that? Well, you must have a gift. Yeah, you have a gift. You're yielding to it. It's not godly, though. It's not the God. It is, you know, a demon, and these people are yielding to the wrong things. So anyway, verse 19, so these people made money off this girl. It was their livelihood. So Paul told the demon to get out. So verse 19, when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. They're mad. Their income is gone. This is how they make money. Verse 20, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. They got beat with rods. You know, iron, metal. I mean, these people were beaten with rods for doing this. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So these people, Paul and Silas, are going around preaching the gospel. This girl, this demon through this girl, is hindering them. They cast it out. They're doing the work of the ministry. They're ministering to people. These people go and complain, get them thrown into prison, get them beaten. You know, get them beaten with rods, stripes on their back. All for the work of the ministry. Now that's a pretty bad situation. It's not like having a confrontation at work or something. These people were physically beaten and thrown into the inner prison and then fastened their feet in stocks. And then verse 25, but at midnight Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now I've heard descriptions of these prisons. And you know, obviously this one had stocks and things, but some of the places Paul spent time in, just disgusting. I mean, some of those places, you know, where he was just down in the middle of just garbage and all alone, and it's cold and it's damp. It's not like the prisons we have today. This guy didn't go and get to lift weights and watch TV and do whatever, listen to an iPod all the time. You know, these people are in stocks or in the inner prison. They just got beat senseless. And so the guy has a reason to complain if he wanted to. But notice, he's the one that wrote, "Don't do all things without complaining and disputing." That includes, apparently, to Paul, not just when you have a bad day at the office, but when you get arrested and beaten bloody and get put in jail and get your feet put into stocks, do all things without complaining and disputing. That evidently, that all means something to Paul. Because at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And realistically, think of what we would be doing at that time. I mean, Paul ministered under the grace of God, no doubt. He said himself, you know, that his grace, I mean, God told him his grace is sufficient for him. And so we're not just exalting Paul, but Paul practiced what he preached. The guy is in a bad prison. Not the Four Seasons or anything. He is in a prison. He's gotten beat for ministering the gospel, for doing what he believes is right, for following Jesus. And he's just gotten beat, thrown in jail. And at midnight, he is still singing and praising God. Now, I would call that a sacrifice of thanksgiving, if there is one. If you think his flesh felt like doing that, you know, you have some fairy tale ideal of what went in the Bible. Like, these guys really didn't live. You know, sometimes we do this. We read the stories and we think, yeah, I'm hearing it, but I'm thinking it's almost like a story being told to me, and somehow they had different circumstances than I do, and, you know, somehow it wasn't real life like what we have. Like, somehow Paul didn't feel his... somehow he didn't actually have any of the thoughts we would have, because he's Paul the Apostle. Yes, he was Paul the Apostle, but he chose to follow God and to believe God and to thank God in the middle of his circumstances, just like you and I would have to. He's not special. He's anointed by God to do what he's doing, but he still had to make a choice. And his flesh was still crying out to him. And his mind, it is, I don't believe it's right to believe that Paul never had a thought contrary to doing what he was called to do. All these trials he went through, which are listed in other places, you know, being left for dead after being stoned and being beaten and all these things. It's like, it's easy to, you know, in one sense be amazed by that, but in another sense going, well, he's special and move on. He's special, yes, he was called of God, but... And he had a special calling of God, but he still had to day to day consecrate himself to follow him, just like you and I do. It wasn't automatic. It wasn't automatic that Paul, well, you're called to be apostle, so therefore your life's easy. It obviously wasn't easy. It was hard, and he, as a person in flesh and blood, had to consecrate himself daily to follow God and to follow what he was called to do. And this particular instance found him beaten up, put in prison, his hands in stocks, and what did he do? At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. He still thanked God in the middle of all that. He still thanked God, and the prisoners were listening to him, so he must have been not just going, oh, praise you, God. No, he was doing it loud enough so the other prisoners could hear him. In the middle of all that, thank you, Lord. I don't know what they were singing, but they were praying and singing hymns to God. And then the rest of the story, which we're not really going to go into, you know, there was a great earthquake. We'll read a couple verses. 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Because remember, he was charged with guarding these people. Verse 28, but Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your whole household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now they brought them into his house. He set food before him, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. So that turned out pretty good, but it did not look very good just a little bit before. And yet, Paul still praised him. Praised God. He still offered the sacrifice of thanksgiving, even when it didn't look good at all. Unless Paul had a word of knowledge or something and knew that that was coming, it looked pretty bad, but Paul still thanked God. And he still consecrated himself to the will of God. And then right in the middle, when stuff turned around, he was still able to minister to the jailer. And that man got saved. And his family got saved. Because Paul, you know, was doing just like what we're talking about today. He was telling God, thank you, as a sacrifice, offering him the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we can all do the same thing, even when we're not bloodied and in jail. You know, when we have a bad day at work or our spouse is getting on our nerves, you know, we can still thank God. I mean, think about it. Sometimes we think we're in the middle of a prison and feel like we've been beaten up, but we're not anywhere near with that. I mean, even if we're not having a good time in the day, we can still say, God, I still choose to thank you in the middle of this. And we can think about Paul. Well, If you can't think of anything else, just thank God you're not in the middle of prison and just been beaten up. That's a good thing to be thankful for. You know, thank God that you're not in that position. Thank God that you have a nice house to live in, that it's temperature controlled. Thank God that you know, you have your spouse, if that's a problem. Thank God I had a spouse, because at one point, you're pretty happy you had that spouse. You know, if we all go back and just think of when we first met the person we're married to, we were pretty happy. I know I was. I was reading that in a journal. All the stuff you're happy about. We just go back and be thankful for the things and quit looking at the junk. Maybe that's going. I mean, if Paul could do it, Matt, we can do it. You know, if Paul could do it in the middle of that situation, we can do it. This man, when we're reading things, and we don't glorify a man, but, you know, this guy is not just blowing smoke. He's the real deal. Let's read a couple more verses, some things Paul said. Colossians 3:14. We're just going to read a couple verses where he said to be thankful. But keep that in mind when we're reading this. This guy, you know, he's been through some stuff. He's not just saying this just to be preaching at people. Sometimes it's easy to tell everybody else what to do, but then, you know, we face the same things in our life. We don't want to do it. Colossians 3:14. But Paul wasn't like that, and we don't have to be like that. Colossians 3:14 says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, maturity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's one thing right there. Let's just stop there for a second. Somebody said this once. If we're constantly having a problem being thankful, if we're constantly having a problem believing God or believing He's good, let's make sure that the Word of God is dwelling in us richly. It's hard to try to change everything at the output when we're not, you know, we're trying to change what's coming out of our mouth or what we tend to do in certain situations, and we're trying to change things downstream. Sometimes it's just upstream. There are challenges downstream when things are actually happening that we have to say, in this situation, I'm still going to do the right thing. But if it's constantly a struggle down here, constantly a struggle in any area with our spouse or with our job or whatever, and it's just so easy for the wrong attitudes or words to come out, sometimes we need to go back upstream and say, am I letting the Word of God dwell in me richly? Because if the Word of God is dwelling in me richly, if I'm focused on Him and focused on His Word and just putting the right things in, then it's not, it makes it easier. I'm not saying it's easy when the trials of life come, but it's easier than if we're feeding ourselves or feeding on the junk. Then we get down here and it's real easy for us just to go down the wrong path because we're not strong. We're not letting the Word of God dwell in us richly. And it's so easy then to fall into the wrong places. And I guarantee you, Paul kept himself full of the Word. And that doesn't mean jumping through a bunch of hoops. It means whatever you do to focus, have a strong relationship with God. To keep His Word in us, whether that's reading us, whether that's meditating, you know, muttering, speaking it, whether that's listening to things, whatever, praying, to keep it foremost before us and keep our minds and our hearts focused on Him so that it's easier to yield to our spirits. Because it's never going to be a cakewalk. Our flesh is not going to stop giving us trouble until it's dead. Then it won't give us any more trouble. But then we'll be in heaven, so it'll be a moot point at that point. But it's going to give us trouble. It's just how much we keep it under. One of the ways to keep it under is to let the Word of God, the Word of Christ, dwell in you richly. See, it doesn't mean you have to read your Bible 3 hours a day. The Word of Christ is God's Word to you. Keeping God's Word alive in you, however that is. Keeping your focus on Him and all He's done. Part of that's being thankful. Verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. See, you can't sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord when you're complaining and grumbling. Can't do it. Kind of mutually exclusive. But verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, our God the Father, through Him. These are pretty good instructions. Let's just read through it one more time. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This man could give those instructions and obviously practice what he preached. And we can follow this. It just gives a picture that, you know, as we go through life, we're thankful. We're singing with grace to God in our hearts. In everything we do in word or deed, we're doing all in the name of Christ. That, to do that, you know, part of that, when you're thankful, when you're constantly thankful and reminding yourself of what God has done, reminding yourself of what you've been saved from through Christ, you're able to live like this. You're able to be full of God. You're able, when some opportunity presents itself where you could go the wrong way, easier to say, you know, but thank God. But thank God. And that becomes a habit. And as your flesh and your mind follow your spirit and it becomes a habit, your flesh is habitual. And as it gets more on the right thing to do and follows, it's never going to die. I mean, until it dies, it's going to give us some trouble. But the more habitually we do this, the easier it gets. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn to one more scripture, Colossians 2:6. Just a little bit back. Colossians 2:6 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Just even the simplicity of walking, just like he said, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so you walk in Him. When we knew we were saved, and that was the most, that was the forefront thing in our life. We realized what we were saved from. We realized what Jesus did for us. When our focus is on there, nothing else matters. He's the pearl of great price. It doesn't matter if you have all these other things. If you don't have Christ, nothing matters. And when we first realized that, we trusted God, whenever that was, and that was real to us, that was the thing, the central thing. It's so easy at that point to focus on Him and what we really have in Christ. And so He says, As you've received Christ, so walk in Him. Stay there, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. There it is again. Abounding in what you're doing and following and living through Christ, abounding in thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. We do everything. I tell you what, if we'll just get in the habit of being, and I'm preaching to myself too, we all can have a temptation not to look at the positive. But when we just get in the habit of being in thanksgiving, a thankful person. Nobody likes to hear somebody that grumbles. I mean, people, I guarantee you, when somebody cooks a meal or whatever, you don't want to hear what's bad about it. I cook very little, but I know when I do something, you know, get a picture. You just want, if somebody says something nice, be thankful. Be thankful you have a meal. Thank God. We just get in the habit of being thankful, of being in thanksgiving. It changes our perspective. Like we said last week, I truly believe when you give in to the other side, it leads you down a different path. Grumbling and complaining can lead nowhere, but it just opens a door. It just opens a door to get negative. I mean, have you ever noticed? I mean, you could be doing so well, and it's so easy if you say something negative about a situation or somebody. It's so easy to say a little more about something or, well, yeah, and then there's this or whatever. Pretty soon, you can get yourself over here to where you're focusing totally on the wrong things, and all started with some seemingly insignificant comment. You know, something, well, I know I shouldn't say that, but, and I do. And it's easy to go over there. But we don't have to go that way. We can just get in the habit of being thankful. You know, one of my friends, Tom Burt, Pastor Tom Burt, he's up in Exeter. You guys have maybe met him. You know, when he came down, he's come down for some meetings. He says, he's got a saying, joy is the hallmark of true Christianity. Joy is the hallmark of true Christianity. You know, when we're in the position where we do let ourselves get down or even grumble, I mean, I really believe that joy, thanksgiving, being thankful, looking at the positive, it is a hallmark of true Christianity. When we get to the point where we say, oh, I mean, you imagine, it's so religion twisted to say, oh, it's hard, I'm a Christian, I'm just doing the work of the Lord. If anybody had the opportunity to have that attitude, Paul would have had that attitude, but he didn't have that attitude. In the middle of a bunch of junk going on in his life, he was thankful. He was joyful. In jail, he was thankful and joyful and happy. And we can be happy and joyful and thankful regardless of the circumstances and just give that offering of thanksgiving and walk the way we were when we first became a Christian and be thankful for the things and just give thanks to God, walk in there, be fully built up and rich, letting the Word of God dwell in us richly. And just like Pastor Tom said, that we just exemplify Christianity because we're happy, we're joyful, and then we'll shine as lights in the world, as it said over there, you know, in the verse we read earlier. Thank God.